Funding for this talk comes from TrialX, connecting patients to clinical trials.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cure Panel talk show on yoga. I'm Priya Menon, scientific media editor at Cure Talk, Cure Panel, joining you from India, and I welcome all of you this evening to a discussion on yoga. This is the 35th episode of the Cure Panel talk show, and the fourth time we are discussing yoga on this platform. On today's show, we have yoga experts and myeloma survivors who have benefited immensely by practicing yoga. We are discussing yoga for healing, stress reduction, emotional resilience, and self-care with five yoga experts, four of whom are multiple myeloma survivors. Yoga is a 5,000-year-old practice which is actively pursued by over 20 million Americans today. Modern yoga, as we know it, is a form of self-care that efficiently combines multiple dimensions of building physical, psychological, and even spiritual health and strength. This is vastly believed to be the central mission of modern yoga, and yoga still has enormous untapped potential to serve as a holistic health resource for our society. On today's show, we are going to explore and learn about the healing properties of yoga and hear from myeloma survivors who have enjoyed the benefits of yoga and its healing powers. Let us welcome Dr. Carol Horton. Carol Horton is the author of Yoga PhD, Integrating the Life of the Mind and the Wisdom of the Body, and co-editor of 21st Century Yoga, Culture, Politics, and Practice. She holds a doctorate in political science from the University of Chicago, served on the faculty at McAllister College, and has extensive experience as a research consultant specializing in issues affecting low-income children and families. A certified forest yoga teacher, Carol teaches yoga to women in the Cook County Jail with Yoga for Recovery and at Chaturanga Holistic Fitness in Chicago. She's a co-founder of the Socially Engaged Yoga Network, an organization dedicated to supporting yoga teachers, community organizations, and other stakeholders committed to sharing the benefits of yoga with underserved communities in the Chicagoland area. My co-host for the show today and myeloma survivor is Lissy Smith. Lissy Smith was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in January 2012 at the age of 44. Treated at Huntsman Cancer Institute in Salt Lake City, she has undergone a tandem stem transplant and is completing her year of maintenance therapy. She is currently in remission. Lissy is a single mom for two daughters, ages 13 and 6. She enjoys yoga, hiking, power walks, and travel. She remains active in the cancer world by blogging her experience at lissysmiles.blogspot.com. Our next panelist is Dr. Catherine Kerr. Catherine was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in 1996. Since that time, she has used Tai Chi and mindfulness meditation to support her immune system and deal with side effects related to treatment. She's a neuroscientist specializing in investigating brain mechanisms underlying the effects of Tai Chi and mindfulness on aging, pain, and other clinical situations. She's an assistant professor at Brown University School of Medicine and director of translational neuroscience at the Brown University Contemplative Studies Initiative. We next have Lisa Duncan. Lisa has been practicing yoga for over 20 years. She's a trained yoga teacher. While her first love is Ashtanga yoga, these days she's also into a nice daily hour and 45 minutes of vinyasa flow along with meditation and breathing. She even did these in her room during her tandem stem cell transplant. She feels that yoga helps with the physical strength depleted by steroids, which she has been on and off for 3 years now. Yoga gives her flexibility and agility. The mental aspect helps to calm her down. Stay present in the moment. Lisa also teaches yoga at the Cook County Sheriff's Women Justice Program since 1998. In 2012, she formed the Nonprofit for Yoga for Recovery to support this work at the prison to ensure sustainability and build collaborations with other service yoga for the community. Yoga is part of her treatment to help her get to complete remission, which she hopes is soon. Carol Pepe. Carol spent over 25 years as a special educator and outdoor enthusiast. Carol found yoga in 1998, and after an injury and the practice felt like a natural fit in exploring the physicality of asanas as well as a connection of the self to the natural world. After a life-altering diagnosis of multiple myeloma in 2003, yoga became prominent in the heart of her healing process. In June 2010, she completed the 500-hour yoga teacher training program with an emphasis on therapeutics at Yoga Loka. She founded Yoga for Cancer Care, offering cancer care classes, restore and renew classes, and outreach programs. She is also an assistant instructor for the teacher trainees at Yoga Loka. With that, I would now hand over to Lissy to begin with the discussion. Lissy, you're live on air.
Hi, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here today. It's my first attempt at co-hosting a program, so I appreciate the opportunity. We'll start off with Carol. We often hear about yoga in terms of its healing benefits. As one who has personally used yoga during my own recovery, especially during chemo and during transplant, can you explain how this works?
Sure. First, I want to thank you so much for having me on the show. It's really an honor. Because not everyone is really familiar with yoga, I just wanted to start off by making a clear distinction that when it comes to yoga for healing, I think there's an enormous difference between practicing yoga as an exercise form, pretty purely and simply, versus practicing yoga as a mind-body integration practice. They're just different, and I'll explain why. I think when yoga is practiced purely as exercise, which I mentioned because that is a lot of what's happening in the U.S. today, it's a little more like gymnastics than, say, Tai Chi. So any health benefits are going to be limited to stretching, strengthening, and that's quite different than practicing yoga in a more traditional way as a mind-body integration practice. Then I think the healing benefits really expand from stretching and strengthening to being much more holistic. And when I say mind-body integration practice, what I mean quite specifically is that yoga is practiced in a way where the physical movement is systematically integrated with our mental attention and focus, along with the conscious regulation of our breathing. And what this does is it shifts what we're doing from being a more mechanistic exercise form to something that can work to unwind areas in our minds and bodies that cause pain or disease through chronic tension, constriction, or simply being outside of our field of awareness and care. So when we practice yoga as a mind-body integration practice, more specifically what we're doing is connecting our brain to the rest of our bodies, and particularly our nervous systems, in ways that creates new patterning throughout our entire organism. So, for example, I started practicing yoga in my late 20s, in part because I was suffering from chronic headaches. And while I thought of yoga as simply an exercise form that I would stretch, maybe relieve some tension, what I found was that the patterns that led to the headaches were really much deeper. There was a lot of emotional and psychological patterning that went into why I held chronic tension in my shoulders and neck, had certain postural patterns. So in unwinding the physical patterns that caused the headaches, I also did a lot of work on my psychology and emotional self, and yoga really became a holistic, transformative process that was healing on many levels. I not only got rid of the headaches, but I got to know myself a lot better, learn to regulate my emotions much better, and really develop the sense of connection to, I guess you could say, my life force, which is what many people call the spiritual dimensions of yoga, and that in of itself is quite healing.
So that's
so
Carol,
one example.
Can I just ask you one follow-up question there? Was all of
sure.
that work done inside of your yoga class, for example, or was some of that done outside of class during meditation or therapy or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the yoga class is what got me to the point of having an understanding of yoga as a mind-body integration practice, as I explained before. But what allowed the benefits to really become deeper were, one, developing a home practice. So I wasn't just limited to practicing yoga when I went to class, but I could practice at home and really make it my own work. Also, I definitely think that yoga is a great tool to integrate with any other sort of therapeutic work, whether it's physical therapy, body work, psychotherapy, or traditional Western medicine or Ayurvedic practice. When whatever you need, the yoga itself can be tailored to work more specifically on the areas of the mind and body that need healing for you, and how the yoga works synergistically with other therapeutic practices is something that each individual can also tailor. So I would definitely advocate yoga plus whatever else helps.
Okay. Is there a type of yoga that you recommend or that you think is, you know, more beneficial than others?
I really feel that the critical thing is discovering what's appropriate for each individual. So I think that there's no one-size-fits-all answer to whether Ashtanga versus yin versus gentle versus flow or whatever is going to be better. It really depends on the individual. My concern would just be in general that it is also a mindfulness practice and that there is attention to the regulation of breath, because that really, as I said before, makes it a more holistic practice. In concrete terms, it helps with regulating the nervous system, and developing the powers of attention at the same time do help to reprogram certain harmful patterns that we have that lead to mental and physical dis-ease in our being.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Catherine, mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. There. And speaking of, you know, mind-body connection, there have been quite a few recent articles, including the most recent one, and there was one in the New York Daily News, that talks about how yoga stimulates the brain. Can you expand mm-hmm. on that?
Well, there's a lot of work taking place right now. We're sort of in early phases of looking at the effects of yoga on the brain. But we do know that yoga appears to cause, to be related to neuroplasticity and changes in cortical thickness. And a friend of mine and collaborator, Dr. Sarah Lazar, has some really interesting data on that. And we also know that it has that yoga appears to change something called vagal tone, which is the balance of your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. And it actually sort of allows you to sympathetic nervous system is sort of what we use in a fight-or-flight response or when we have extreme emotional arousal. It's very useful for sort of short-term adaptive responses to crisis. But, you know, if you're a cancer patient and you're kind of in a longer-term health crisis, having that type of response can actually be kind of maladaptive. And so what yoga appears to do is to help rebalance the parasympathetic tone so that you can sort of have a more relaxed vagal tone, a more relaxed nervous system, so there's less of that excitability. And, you know, there are other changes that we know about, changes related to stress hormones and also to some really interesting markers of longevity. I'm not an expert on this yoga science, but I can also tell you that I'm really taking up something that Carol just said, which is that when yoga is practiced not just as an exercise but as a contemplative or meditative practice where you're really feeling and experiencing the poses and really sort of going inside, that we know that a mindfulness response kicks in. And when that happens, all sorts of other brain changes take place that help to kind of give you more psychological balance and help you to regulate negative emotions. So I think that it's important to kind of sort of look at both types of benefits. So the benefits that are seem to be really specific to yoga and yoga practice. And then there are the benefits that come from practicing yoga in a kind of contemplative, mindful way. And I think both of those things are important.
So when you say a mindful and contemplative way, is that up to the individual as they're in doing their yoga? Is that up to them to try to figure out how to best meditate or get into that kind of meditative state? And how do that?
I think the teacher and the setting are really important. You know, if it's a sort of a gymnastic or a very externally focused setting, you know, you'll get all sorts of benefits, but you won't learn how to sort of tune into the inside experience. A lot of it, what it comes down to is learning how to really inhabit the pose and how to, you know, pay attention to your breath, how to pay attention to your fingers when you're doing a warrior pose, and, you know, how to get the balance of relaxation and, you know, sort of a just the right level of tension to have structure but not, you know, to have too much tension. Achieving that kind of balance, that really makes yoga into a contemplative practice and makes it not sort of just kind of doing a bunch of postures.
So I know with my own it does, but I know that with my own experience with doing yoga, you know, I just, and I think most of us probably just show up for class and sort of figure it out along the way. Are there other maybe sites or other resources that we can use to try to achieve that?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a real complementarity with mindfulness-based practices. And actually, the mindfulness-based stress reduction is an international program that was put together by Jon Kabat-Zinn and really appears to have just a broad range of beneficial effects on stress and stress physiology. And what we know is that there's actually, within mindfulness-based stress reduction, a yoga component. There's a real complementarity. I mean, these practices emerged out of a kind of a joint culture in South Asia, and the ability to use your mind to focus on your body experience, which is a key aspect of mindfulness, is, you know, really strongly cultivated in mindfulness-based practice, but it's also cultivated in yoga. So one of the things that people can look for that's very complementary to yoga practice is a mindfulness-based practice, which is something that there are many community-based programs and hospital-based programs, and you know, I can send some links for an international website that can check that out.
Okay, that would be good.
Is that helpful? Okay.
So, and is there maybe any of the panelists can answer this question? Why yoga as opposed to running or, you know, swimming or something, or, you know, some other activity? Why does yoga seem to have those benefits above others?
Sorry, I've got a beeping going on. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay,
See if you can ignore it. That's one thing that we learn actually in mindfulness training, is how to work with slightly annoying sensations. But anyway.
So the beeping was on purpose.
This is Carol. I could jump in on the exercise question. So exercise is good for us. We know that, and running or swimming is wonderful, and it does help to relieve stress. And really anything can be done as a mindfulness practice once we have the training. However, yoga, I think, is different in two ways. One, physically, it is designed to work the body quite evenly and holistically. So running, for example, would be a certain sort of repetitive motion over and over again, whereas yoga, if a well-sequenced class is taught, should both twist, invert, forward bend, backward bend, side bend. So it's set up to try to move the body quite multidimensionally. And again, when that's combined with the development of mental attention, mindful awareness of the body, and pranayama or breathing exercises, I think there's just a synergistic effect that is quite powerful. Now, I wouldn't say that it's the only sort of practice that one can develop these kind of, derive these kind of benefits from, but I would say that to me, the sort of yoga I'm talking about is, again, closer to Tai Chi or even the traditional martial art that is oriented towards mind-body integration, Qigong, that sort of thing, than something more like jogging in a really pedestrian sense.
Okay.
Step aerobic, for example. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, Lisa and Carol, I would like to talk about the Yoga for Recovery program. I think you both are, Lisa, you're the founder of it, and Carol, you're also part of the program. Can you describe that program, explain a little bit what it's about, how it works?
Sure. Yoga for Recovery is a volunteered from yoga teachers around the Chicago area, and we go to the Cook County Jail and teach 6 classes weekly. And we teach the women in the general population in the Sheriff's Justice Program. We also teach to the pregnant women in the jail also. So it's been a really good program for them to have to deal with their stress in that environment.
And how has the response been, or, you know, has there been a marked improvement in behavior or, I guess, dealing with life in prison?
Carol, you want to take that question?
Right. We haven't, unfortunately, had the resources to do a systematic evaluation of the effects of the program. Anecdotally, the program in one of the divisions, well, both programs are voluntary, and the slots are limited just by space, and it's pretty consistently full, and even, unfortunately, has to be somewhat rationed that women can't necessarily access that class every week, even if they want to, and it's offered just because there's more demand than there is supply. So it is popular in the general population classes. We have more small, consistent groups that come regularly, week after week, and so there seems to be perhaps a little less demand, but because of the set of that program, more consistency, which allows students to learn more in depth. I can see from having taught with the program for the past 2 years that we are liked by the guards and staff that we deal with, and I've noticed a marked change as I go in and check in through security and so on, from kind of a skeptical, why are you here, what's yoga, and what's the point of offering it to these women, and sort of a, not hostility, but yeah, kind of deep skepticism, to a very friendly, hey, you know, you're the yoga people, great, and I want to do some yoga, could you offer classes for us? So I think we're clearly having a positive ripple effect. And beyond that, there are research studies that have been done by larger outfits, and there are positive effects found in terms of the response of the inmates who are able to study yoga. So I think the research base is there, but for our particular program, we're too small to have developed it.
Okay. And then, Carol, I also believe that you're involved with the Yoga for Cancer Care as well, correct?
I think that's me, the other Carol.
Oh, there's two Carols.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about that one? I mean, what are the goals of the courses? Are there yoga, saunas for pain alleviation, depression, chemo-induced quality of life issues?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me, and I'm really interested in what the others have said so far, because and I feel like I'm on track in how I'm teaching my classes at Yoga for Cancer Care. So briefly, the goals are to empower people to be active participants in their own healing and develop mindfulness, as the others were talking about, and generally nourishing the body, mind, and spirit while also encouraging flexibility and strength within all three components, body, mind, and spirit. So we use a variety of yoga techniques, and not just asana, as Yetta Carol was mentioning, and to address those issues of depression, pain, and quality of life. So we include asana, or yoga poses, but equally important are visualizations, guided meditations, and breath work or pranayama, especially for pain. We use heart openers and gentle back bends, finding them effective for depression, and moving energy upward from a downward spiral. What I try to do is weave a different theme into each class, addressing quality of life issues like loss of strength. We may talk about what strength is or have readings about strength in terms of not just physical strength and so on, and then move into a practice repeating a positive affirmation like mountain, strong, connected to the breath, inhaling mountain, exhaling strong. This can be done when you're lying in bed, seated, moving through asana poses, walking, or even running in a meditative, mindful way, as was mentioned. And in my experience as a survivor, I recognized that what I was experiencing was trauma while I was diagnosed and going through treatment, and then post-traumatic stress as I came to its conclusion. So I've drawn from the work of David Emerson, who was also another panelist here with CURE, as I teach yoga for cancer care, and address the class in the manners that he suggests to teach those people who are suffering from trauma, which could include also support partners who I include in my classes. So creating a safe, nourishing environment with a lot of emphasis on gentle, repetitive, pulsing patterns of asana, connecting your movement to your breath, and finding those to be the key components within each class. And then also I create a lot of time for restorative poses as well. So supported poses that are very grounded and allow people to feel comfort and feel support below them, or enable them to bring support to them or identify sources of support that they might not have realized were there. So that's how I do my classes at Yoga for Cancer Care.
Can I just chime in with that, the supported poses?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was first diagnosed, my teacher was primarily a Tai Chi teacher, but he'd also done a lot of intensive training with Patricia Walden, who's well-known Iyengar yoga teacher. And
right.
he had me do a lot of supported poses with, you know, kind of supported chest openers and different work with the hips, but very, very gentle.
Right.
And I felt like, I mean, this is just sort of seconding what Carol just said, but I felt like it was a traumatic situation being diagnosed.
Right.
And these supported poses gave me a space for experiencing those emotions
right.
in a safe way, and that was right. incredibly helpful. So I just wanted to chime in with that.
Thank you. And when you're feeling in the midst of a crisis and a lot of, you know, physical trauma, you know, IVs and all that kind of thing, coming to a place where you're going to feel a little bit of love in your body is really a gift. So I like to give a little gift to people. And also, work, you know, when we're beyond, you know, Yoga for Cancer Care treats people at all stages. So, you know, some people are recovering and like to work a little more on strength building and, you know, not feel like they need to just be coddled, you know. And so, you know, there's all different times and all different ways to practice the yoga, and I think that's important to recognize as well. It's not all just like you can't do anything. You know, I don't want to say that we're all going to be limited to just lying in Shavasana the whole time, you know. I mean, when I, you know, get strong and move, you know, both are good. So being able to know what's needed at that time is really a focus of my class. I like to encourage the students to really tune in to where their energy is, tune in to what is needed on this day, not comparing their practice to what might have been their practice in the past, but being really honest about what their energy is and what their needs are emotionally, physical, on all those levels. So that's really how we start out, is where are you and what place are you in, and where's your energy, your prana, whatever you want to call it. So that's really a key, to bring that from the class into all their daily life experiences, so everyone can, you know, grow in their vitality and enjoy life more and more. Sorry for my voice. Just got back from a long trip, and my immune system's still a little weak, so I get a little hammered when I go on the holidays.
Well, thank you. I do know that when I first entered, you know, started chemotherapy and was diagnosed, and how I remember how absolutely horrible I felt physically as well as emotionally. And the idea of, wow, I can actually go and do something like yoga, you know, in my mind,
yeah,
I thought, I can't, I'm sick. I can't do anything physical. And to try to get over that hump that, yes, yoga is a good and an appropriate type of exercise to be doing. And then also, when I was done with therapy, to use yoga to start building up my strength that was so incredibly weak. And I thought, well, I can't go do Bikram yoga. That's too hard. And I did it. And it helped build strength, and it helped me mentally and emotionally and physically in all of those ways. So yoga is something I think that is so, you know, good for us cancer warriors at, you know, at all levels of diagnosis, treatment, and recovery as well. And so I think trying to communicate that can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge. But
and yoga means a lot of things.
Right. And I think a lot of people in their mind, I know when I was also going through a divorce, when I was diagnosed and entered treatment, and my ex-husband was saying, oh, well, she's doing yoga, she's fine, she should go back to work. And, you know, it's that misperception that, you know, yoga helps with the treatment and recovery. It doesn't mean that you're just fine, but it's a huge help there. So, Lisa, there have been many violent episodes in the U.S. and all over the world recently. And with your experience in teaching yoga to jail inmates and being trained for the Prison Yoga Project, do you think that yoga can help bring about a calmer disposition in people in general and just help make those who practice it emotionally resilient?
Absolutely. We see the yoga, the breathing, the meditation takes these women from an agitated state when they might walk into the room, a little confused, it's noisy, not knowing what's going on, to the end at Shavasana, even though they might not close their eyes or what have you, they definitely come out. Kathy was talking about the flight or fight response. You just see a different level on their face, smiling, laughing, talking. It's not like your typical yoga classes that you might do at your yoga studio just because of the environment. But we wonder often, do they take it with them when they leave the jail? Are they practicing things? They often ask for handouts. They want to know. They're very inquisitive. And they really feel the breathing helps a lot of them. A lot of them talk about it. They have a lot of questions, how they can go into it further. So I really think yoga does help in that setting.
Okay. I agree. So let's see. Priya, are you there?
Yes, Lucy, I'm here.
So should I keep going, or am I taking over your part of that program?
Yes, let's get on to hearing the myeloma stories.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, Catherine, myself, Lisa, Carol, we're all myeloma survivors. I think we've all benefited from the healing powers of yoga, from diagnosis to treatment, transplant, recovery, the whole gamut. So I know we'd like to hear the stories of the survivors. So, Catherine, if it's okay, I'd like to start with you. You were diagnosed with myeloma in 1996. What prompted you to try out meditation and Tai Chi? And if you can just tell us a little bit about your journey with myeloma and meditation, if there are particular techniques that you would recommend, if there's any studies through, any of your studies proving that meditation yoga help people with myeloma.
Yeah, so... when I was first diagnosed, I actually was emerging from a major depression. I was 31, and I was just finishing graduate school, and I was an incidental finding, so I didn't have any symptoms. And when I did a consultation at the Dana-Farber, they wanted me to do an allogeneic bone marrow transplant, in which up to 40% of the people get that die in the first year. So I didn't have any symptoms, but they were trying to push me into this program that was very aggressive because at the time, unlike now where there is a lot of hope for cure being near, there really wasn't at that point. So I decided that this was crazy, what they were suggesting, and I began to do a really systematic, 2-hour meditation program every day that included a lot of Iyengar yoga components and also some components from Tai Chi and Qigong. And it was a teacher named Romel Ronis who was a Boston-based teacher who taught me how to integrate all of these different components. And what ended up happening was it really treated my depression. And I really feel like anybody who comes into the disease with any emotional issues, in a way, they're fortunate because if they start to deal with those emotional issues, it's possible that could even have an impact on the course of the disease. And I think that's what happened with me. The people at the Dana-Farber told me that I had basically very kind of almost active myeloma, sort of between smoldering and active myeloma. And they said, we promise you that you're going to progress to needing this allogeneic procedure in the next 2 years. And what I did was I used my practices to manage my emotions, to continue to work full-time at a job that I liked at that point, and to also begin to teach people some of these practices in assisted living homes with my teacher, Rami Ronis. And so by the end of that period, after 5 or 6 years, I hadn't progressed, and my mind was much stronger. My legs and my physical health were much stronger. I hadn't had a cold in a long time. And then at that point, I started to progress. But what happened was that there's thalidomide, was newly available, and I was able to do that and avoid the treatments that they had suggested before. And so basically since around 2001, 2002, I've been able to use occasional treatments with thalidomide and Velcade to avoid having any major aggressive treatment. And it's only now I guess about 17, 18 years later, that I'm actually needing to turn to a stem cell transplant. And my hope is that, I did very well because that was a very tough time to have myeloma, and I managed to make it through that period, which I was incredibly fortunate. And so now my hope is to, I'm heading into a stem cell transplant right now as we speak, and to use the techniques that I've learned. I actually have my, I'm actually in the hospital right now starting my induction, my mobilization, and I have my meditation pillow, and I've been doing my, like, exactly like Lisa said, I've been doing my practices in the hospital room, and, you know, I've been able to work full-time the last 10 years and not really get colds and not, thank God, I don't know why, not have bone or kidney problems. It's a little bit mysterious. My case is a little weird, but, you know, I think that it's been my, you know, daily turning to these programs, and I do think I've had some experiences using Qigong to move energy, and that have been kind of interesting and may have provided some extra help. So it's, you know, it's a long story, so there's many chapters, but the basic upshot is that I used mindfulness to manage my emotions. I used a lot of yoga stretches, especially passive yoga stretches, to make sure that I could keep my back open, because that's one thing that my first teacher really emphasized, was working on the lower back, especially since I came into this with a healthy lower back. I didn't have bone problems. That preserving that lower back function was something that we worked on, you know, many times, and using passive yoga stretches to sort of slowly deepen that forward bend is very, very important. And I think, like, identifying what are the kind of key mobility issues, or, you know, the kind of, everybody has their sort of Achilles heel that is a vulnerability. It could be a psychological vulnerability. It could be a back pain vulnerability. And really gently trying to kind of bring that consciousness, that awareness of that vulnerability into the practice, and just, you know, very slowly and, you know, using 5% effort, beginning to try to work on that. I don't know if you guys have thought of it that way, or what your approach has been, but that's sort of what I've been doing over the last 17, 18 years.
Thank you for sharing that, Catherine. I mean, as I'm sure we all wish you all the best with your stem cell transplant.
Thank you.
It wasn't that long ago. It seems like a very long road, but you'll get through it, and it's amazing that
you'll feel well after. Getting it going has been an experience. So thank you for that wish.
Thank you. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about stem cell transplants and you actually practice yoga through your stem cell transplants, maybe you will have some really good advice to all of us, and Catherine in particular, on how you used yoga as part of your treatment.
Well, I was diagnosed maybe 8-10 years ago, and like Catherine, I had no symptoms except for in blood tests, and I could not fathom what they were talking about, because I felt absolutely fine. And I had a strong yoga practice at that time. And I remember leaving the doctor's office just saying, I wonder why they are saying these things to me. They just are not holding true in my mind and my body. And I did not go back to a doctor for 5 years. I didn't get blood work, anything. And I was it was in India, and I was practicing yoga for a few months, and I got in a motorcycle accident, and I got 6 broken ribs. And after dealing with that and got home, I got another broken wrist fairly easily, and it started to ring true to me that maybe there is something to this multiple myeloma that doctor told me about. And so I went and really started to look into it, and the stem cell transplant scared the heck out of me. I felt that it was going to be so invasive to a very healthy body. So I fooled around with the thalidomide and things prior to doing my stem cell transplant last year. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It didn't get me into remission, the first one. What I didn't like was the hospital environment. Being so isolated was very hard, and that's when my yoga mat came in and the meditation was so helpful. And I really dove in at that point to deal with all of it, and it really I started to learn my body and what these chemicals were doing in it. I love doing twists. I feel it's detoxing. I love back bends. It just gives me so much energy. All of it keeps me very strong. So I just powered through like I could on a daily class. Of course, there were particular days getting the stem cells back into my body that it wasn't too easy to do. But I got out of the hospital soon. My immune system was strong. And then I went to Mexico on a yoga retreat while I waited for my next stem cell to come by. And the second transplant was in March. My practice never stopped. I just kept going, and maybe I'm in somewhat of denial with my multiple myeloma that I just focus on dealing with staying healthy lifestyle like I've always had and continuing my daily practice in a positive attitude. You know, there's more talk about cure these days, and
yeah.
I just feel that I'll focus on that.
Very good. And your doctors are okay with you practicing yoga, correct? I'm assuming.
Yeah, they're amazed by it, really. I mean, because they do see so many people that are in physical. Again, I think on an outlier, like Catherine is on that, I didn't have kidney issues. I didn't have bone issues. I don't know from having a strong physical structure to begin with. But it's keeping me flexible and strong and healthy. So I'm certainly not going to change that.
Thank you. And Carol, what has your experience been with yoga and its benefits through treatments and beyond?
I just want to say, too, that stem cell transplants, I had two of them, and I've been in complete remission for 9 years now. So
wow.
I'm a proponent.
Great
of that.
To hear.
Did well for me. So, in terms of practicing my yoga, it sounds like we're all on the same page as when we were going through all of our treatments. But what helped me was learning acceptance. And that was a huge step for me. And also cultivating this mindfulness to be enable me to investigate the state of my energy and, you know, being more skillful about making life choices on a daily level, day-to-day, and also long-term. And also recognizing especially as I was going through, I had about 4 years of pretty intense treatment, and I had a lot of side effects that affected me physically as I was going through it, and I lost a lot of my identities. And so recognizing, you know, that I was more than this body as I changed, you know, throughout this a lot of toxic treatments, and I lost the identity of myself as, you know, a strong athlete, fit, very physically fit, a teacher. I had to retire to take my treatment, and, you know, sort of a, you know, not a gorgeous person, but suddenly, you know, bald and no eyelashes and eyebrows or anything. So understanding that we are more than our bodies, and we might call that Ishvara Devata, surrendering our egos to something higher. And this came with not just with the physical practice, but, you know, with the things that the yoga philosophies teach us. So, those were the things that helped me with my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so since I had a practice before my diagnosis, you know, I had an inkling of what yoga was, and I thought I really knew because I was a yoga teacher as well, but all of a sudden I had a real true understanding of what yoga really was. And when I was diagnosed, I freaked out like everybody else and read all this really bad information about myeloma. And, you know, over 10 years ago, it really was very dire. And so I was persistent, disciplined, and committed to my recovery. And I modified everything that I could so I could practice yoga in every way that I could, even if it meant just lying in a bed and doing some visualizations. You know, that to me was a different way of practicing yoga than I used to. I used to be very like a stronger power yoga kind of thing, and be an active participant in my healing. And it gave me a sense of control when all other control was out of my hands. And so since my diagnosis, I felt like I had this big aha moment about the real meaning of yoga. And I was really fortunate to have had a good teacher who was also my friend to guide me. And that was invaluable.
Very good. We have about 10 minutes left. I'll just quickly share my story, and then I'll have one question for the panel, and then we can open up for Q&A. But I was diagnosed 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Basically, on the day I was diagnosed, I decided that I was leaving my husband, and I packed up trash bags and threw them in the car and grabbed my two little girls, and we moved from California to Utah so I could enter treatment. And it literally all happened within about a one-week, actually 10-day period, roughly. And, you know, I was felt – anyway, long story short, used tandem stem cell – or a tandem stem cell transplant later, so two transplants later, after I was done with my treatment and I was entering my 1 year of maintenance therapy, I discovered Bikram yoga. There was a beautiful studio near my home, and I have to say that it was like heaven sent, that it helped when I would get, you know, court filings from my soon-to-be ex-husband about, you know, horrible things that would make me just my heart pound and I would hit anxiety, or if I just got scared again that, oh my gosh, I'm a cancer survivor. You know, whenever those types of realities hit me, I could use those yoga breathing techniques to calm down, to center myself, and to really learn to cope better with stress instead of, oh my gosh, I need, you know, an anti-anxiety pill. I could breathe instead and focus and calm, and it has been literally a life changer for me. And I wish I had had the yoga breathing techniques even throughout my difficult marriage, and even when I was diagnosed, and even initially in treatment, would have been so helpful. So any of you out there that are listening that are sort of in the beginning stages or in the heavy treatment stages, I hope that you really take yoga as a, you know, very into consideration as part of your treatment and your recovery. It's really wonderful. So I'm a huge yoga fan, as you can tell.
I think we all are.
Yeah. So, and a question on for all of you, bone pain is a common problem with myeloma. Have any of you used yoga to help alleviate this kind of pain? And if so, how?
Well, I this is Lisa. I haven't had bone pain. I have peripheral neuropathy from some of the medications and possibly the disease itself, and I do use yoga for that. I find a couple poses that are very helpful for the peripheral neuropathy, and that would be like a table pose, doing the cat-cow with your toes curled under, then spending some time sitting on your heels with your toes curled because there's so many nerve endings in your toes. I feel that's really helpful for some of that. But the bone pain I can't answer to. It's just a side effect of the peripheral neuropathy.
Okay.
I had a little bone pain just with the Neupogen mobilization, where you inject Neupogen so that your bone marrow can overproduce stem cells.
Right.
And it does produce bone pain. And I've been able to use forward bend a little bit with that. I'm not sure exactly what it does, but it seems to kind of spread out the energy and draw it out of the bones. And so that's one thing that I've found is really useful. The other thing that I've found is really useful is during practice to really pay attention to the feelings of my feet, and the feeling of my feet meeting the ground. And I found that that actually seems to take my mind away from the bone pain and to really sort of anchor me. I almost imagine like all of the kind of pain and the whatever, you know, sort of used stale energy in my body, I imagine it sort of dropping into the ground, and I really feel that. And it seems to help with the bone pain.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Very good. Priya, do I turn it over to you for the Q&A? Do we have any questions from listeners?
Thank you, Lissy. Thank you very much. Listeners, if you have a question for our panel, you may please press 1, and you can ask it live on air. We have just 5 minutes, I think, Lissy, we have a couple of questions sent in by our listeners. Maybe we could get to them. The most common question that we've received is it safe to join a regular yoga class if you are suffering from myeloma? Lisa, maybe you can take this one. Is it safe to join a regular yoga class if you're suffering from myeloma?
Well, if you've never taken a class before yoga, that probably would be hard. You might want to take a beginner class. Now, your immune system may be weak, and you would want to be careful with the equipment you're choosing in that kind of facility. But it should be safe. It would depend on each person's body, where they're at with treatment, how progressed their disease is in their bones, because myeloma patients' bones can be fragile. And so you would have to really know yourself and where you're at before you get yourself in that situation. You might want to start out with a beginner gentle flow class before taking on a Bikram class, because that can be challenging.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. We have a caller online. The person calling in from 801-949, please ask your question.
Yes, hi. My name is Jenny, and my question is I get leg cramps pretty regularly after treatment with myeloma. I'm just wondering if yoga helps alleviate those leg cramps or if it can.
I think anytime you get your blood circulating, it helps a lot. Personally, I have to go for acupuncture and massage to alleviate my leg cramps that I get from Revlimid. That seems to cause leg cramps for me. But after a good yoga class, I definitely feel like my body has moved and moved out some of that stiffness.
Okay, thank you.
I have the same experience with a lot of cramping, even 10 years down the line from some of the medicines. And I think that I agree with Lisa, what she just said. Anything where you're moving around and releasing, we do something called the joint freeing series, and this can help with pain. It can help with peripheral neuropathy, and really it's just freeing up the energy in all of your joints between your feet to your head, and moving the body and like sort of flexing the feet in one direction and the other, circling the feet like that, moving through the body for wherever you might have this cramping kind of situation, opening and closing the hands like that, and moving progressively from the feet to the head. And it's a really good program for all those things that we've been talking about as side effects, and it's something that again can be done in a safe way at any stage of your treatment, and it can be done in a meditative way. It can be done to address certain symptoms like the cramping or neuropathy, but it can also be just done in a way that's gives you some, control and gives you a direction and a discipline that you're going to do this every day, and it's going to free up your energy and move you to more vitality. So it's called the Joint Freeing Series.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. Think we almost reached the end of our show time. Thank you, Lissy. It was great. You hosted it absolutely wonderful. Carol Horton, Lisa Duncan, Catherine Kerr, and Carol Pepe, it was a great discussion. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. I'm sure our listeners would have benefited greatly. Thank you for all your support. Our next Cure Panel Talk Show on Yoga has been scheduled for January 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are having Dr. Richard Miller of iRest talk about Yoga Nidra for PTSD and mental health. And you can all join us for our next Immediate Cure Panel, which is on 15th October. We are talking breast cancer with breast cancer surgeon, Dr. Diana Tai. and we're discussing mastectomies and BRCA gene. For more details of upcoming shows, please visit curepanel.carefeed.net, or you can always mail me, priya@trialex.com. To search for myeloma trials, please visit MMRF's trial search tool at myeloma.trialex.com/ask. The link for today's show will be sent via email to all participants. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Priya.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.